We're doing a Gedota Talmud. We're still in the Gemara in Gittin, and we had seen last time how Unculus brought up Titus, his uncle, from the dead. And he asked him a bunch of questions, and Titus tried to encourage him to attack and harm the Jews. And now Unculus asked him, "Tell me, how do they judge you in the world to come? What are they doing to you up there?" And Titus said, "They do to me what I said should be done to me. When I was still alive, I gave orders that they bury my body, that they burn my body, and spread the ashes over the seven seas." Now you know where this comes from, right? Titus gave the order to spread the ashes over the seven seas because he said, "I see that God is killing me. I destroyed his temple. I thought I killed him. He brought the waves against me at sea, and I said, 'Oh, you're only powerful at sea.' So he sent this bug up my nose, and he's killing me by having my brain slowly but surely being eaten away by the small fly. And I see that God has it in for me, and I understand. Titus murdered thousands, tens of thousands of Jews. So Titus said, I don't want God to be able to take me to task after I'm dead. So Titus said, they'll burn my body, spread it over the seven seas, and then there'll be nothing left. God won't be able to touch me." So that was Titus's command before he died. So Titus said, you know what happens to me every day? Every day they gather my ashes from the seven seas, they put me back together again, they judge me in the heavenly court, and burn me again and spread my ashes over the seven seas. That's my judgment in heaven. That's my punishment. Every day. That's what Titus says. Now, if we think about it, the Maharal says there's depth to this punishment. Because what did Titus really do? Titus destroyed the temple and spread the Jewish people throughout the diaspora. The fact that the Jews have been scattered for the last thousands of years is all thanks to Titus. So too, every day Titus gets burnt, like he destroyed the temple and then scattered. And the fact that Titus himself asked to have his body cremated, so that shows how he himself was a decrepit person. We don't even realize how who we are is reflected in what we say. By the way, this is a big issue in halacha. One of the principles of faith is that there's going to be tchias ha'meisim. We're still coming back. So that's why a Jew is not supposed to have his body cremated. We say we're still coming back. So we value saving the whatever remains afterwards, the bones, but we value that. So this is the end of the conversation with Titus. Unculus is still contemplating, should I convert or not? So he raises Bilam from the dead. He's going to the next great person among the non-Jews, and this was the great prophet of the non-Jews, Bilam. And he asks him, tell me, in the upper world, who's the greatest? And Bilam said, the Jewish people. So Unculus asks him, what do you think? Should I convert and join them? And Bilam quotes to him the verse that the verse says, "Lo tidrosh shelomam v'tovatam kol hayamim." That the verse really says, "Lo tidrosh shelomam v'tovatam kol yamecha leolam." That even though they're really in the upper world, they're valued, but in this world, look at how they suffer. What good is it to be a Jew? What do you need to join them for? Stay away from them. It's not worth it. Now, it's interesting because this verse is not said about the Jews. God commands the Jews about the idol worshippers, stay away from them, don't seek their peace. Bilam reverses the verse and says it about the Jews. Now, Bilam saw with his own eyes how God controls the universe. He saw how God causes his donkey to speak to him, right? That's a little bit exceptional. And yet we see that even after he dies, his spirit is still defiled. So the question is that, like Rabbein Bechaye asks, Rabbein Bechaye on the spot says, when Bilam's donkey spoke to him, he should have automatically been shocked. He should have said, "Well, what's going on here? What's this miracle?" I should have thought, you see, that God is intervening here, and he doesn't want me to succeed. He was such a wise man. Why did he continue in his path? So the Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that because he desperately wanted to go down that path, so when a person is focused in one way, he doesn't notice that there are signs all around him telling him, don't do it. A person has to stop when he's going down a path and look, wait a second, what's going on around me? If a person is closed-minded, he doesn't notice. We see that in our sugya, that a person can only fix himself in this world. When Bilam gets to the next world, it's too late. He remains the same defiled Bilam, so that even when he's brought back from the dead, the best he can say is, stay away from them. Why suffer with the Jews? Unkelus goes on to bring up Yeshu. So here our Gemara is censored, but this is really what the Gemara initially said. He brought up Yeshu, and he asked him, who's important in the world to come? And he too says, Yisrael. So he asks him, is it a good idea to convert? And Yeshu doesn't answer him directly. But Yeshu tells him, whatever you do, you should always seek out their good. Whatever you do, don't seek out their bad. Anyone who hurts them, it's as though he's touching God in the eye. And he will be punished by God. Unkelus asks him, what punishment do you get in the world to come? And Yeshu answers, he says, they put me in boiling dung. So I, says Yeshu, I made fun of the words of the sages, and whoever makes fun of the words of the sages gets judged with boiling dung. The Gemara says, look at the difference, the chasm that exists between a person who was a sinner, the greatest sinner probably in Jewish history, but his heart was Jewish, and these people who, one of them was a prophet, you're talking about Bilam, but his heart was not. Here you have a man who never spoke to God, Yeshu. Here you have Bilam, who had direct conversation with God on the level of Moshe or greater. And the Gemara says, look at the difference between them. Bilam tells him, don't join them. Don't seek what's their good. And Yeshu tells him, whatever you do, don't harm them. So we see that even though Yeshu sinned, he caused others to sin, somewhere inside him there was this root, there was the inner connection to the true foundation of who he was. We have to remember that when we look around and when we look at ourselves. Sometimes we think, I'm so far. So a person can wake up and suddenly find himself 10 years that he's been living a life of sin. His whole life he's been living a life of sin. And a person can't give up because of that. He has to remember, he's connected to that foundation. He's got an inner root that's pure and can grow.